speaker, the third speaker of this session is Dr. McCarthy.
You have stairs, actually.
Yes, I should. You like the hard way, I know. Dr. McCarthy will talk about light, hydrogen, NMR, and copper alloys. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So change lights. You go this way, back this way. This is the label.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. The one was just directly reacting lithium and boron in copper with hydrogen at high temperature, and then quenching and to preserve the high temperature composition and get it into a calorimeter really quickly, but that doesn't work very well. So I basically tumbled to the idea that looking at Pons and Fleischmann's experiment, you have a screen of bubbles across the cathode, which has got to, among other things, distribute the flow of electrons into the anode in both time as the bubbles move up and spatially. So I basically did not want to do electrochemistry. It's very difficult. So I made a capacitor that's leaky. By the red on there is the copper electrodes, you call them electrodes, and alternate them with a dielectric material, which is basically a gauze to keep the plates apart, and a loaded with a mixture of, and usually vacuum pump oil, but I've used glycerin and other materials, loaded with graphite particles, the smallest I could find, to disrupt put the injection of electrons into the electrodes in a disrupted manner, so that you're going to have a distribution of electrical charges, and therefore you're shaking up the system. Okay, then these go into a calorimeter, which is basically described there, the guts of it, with thermocouples and the the same thing, huh? I put this specimen on the bad capacitor on one side and a Joule heater on the other side. And the whole thing is evacuated in a small vacuum chamber, so that there's no convection. And then there are thermocouples that support the bolt that has the stuff on it. Well, there's the result. I get the green is the distribution it's the results with the Joule here, and the other symbols are basically polarity, because I was wondering if this particular example, one electrode is pure copper and the other is a boron alloy. And so the difference in power here is the difference in, okay, and then this is the input power versus the output of the thermocouple array, and so that difference is the excess heat, which is small. But it's, and those are three sigma bands on the green, so it's small but significant. And so that proves to me that this system produces an excess of heat. Is there any questions on that? Okay. And here we've got that excess plotted against the input current, and it's a fairly consistent increase in the excess power on the vertical scale. So we got it's a bit messy, but you get it. And this then is an example of a calibration run where the specimen is is unalloyed copper that has been vacuum annealed to remove any hydrogen. Okay, I'll quit there for questions.
Thank you. So it's open to questions. Yeah, well, here.
Hello, thank you. That was a great talk. Paul Green at MFMB. Have you considered using nickel with the boron?
What?
You used copper and boron, right?
Yeah, I've also used lithium. The source of my material is they are materials intended for deoxidation of copper. They contain about 3% lithium or boron. Actually, I've used the combination and lithium. I've got a whole bunch of test results.
Okay.
But they're not all that consistent. There are some problems, but that's.
It gives me an opportunity to.
That's not necessarily the best I've got.
It seems that boron is quite important. I talked about borosilicate glass in Chalani's work, but also Francesco Piantelli and Francesco Chalani both used MACOR, which is 7% boron trioxide, in their reactor supports.
Oh.
And Parkamov finished a reactor on the 23rd of May, which produced 4.2 gigajoules. And he had boron nitride reactor tubes running at 1700 degrees.
Oh.
So I think the boron's a good thing to play with.
Well, I think the boron is a reactant. I think it's boron and hydrogen.
Well, it looks like it's boron and nickel producing gallium-69 is what we've observed in the ash from a previous Parkamov experiment.
Oh.
We observed it physically. We observed it with an isotopic process. But there may also be carbon produced in Piantelli and Chalani reactors, because they don't have the option with nickel, the way it works. But if people want to look at the video I recorded yesterday, it's very relevant to your work.
Yeah.
And maybe you could consider using nickel instead